Blog Talk Radio.
I dream of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried, "Holy."
Hey, welcome to the Sound Doctrine Broadcast. This is the Sound Doctrine Broadcast coming to you live from Imperial Beach, California. We have Nathan on our switchboard this evening, 347-945-5416. Tonight we're going to bring you a scripture, we're going to bring you some message, and we're going to talk about a sermon, and we're going to have a good time tonight. We're going to hear what the Lord has to say to us. We want to thank our supporters from around the world, around the country, and those who have written to us, emailed us, called us, and we thank you, and we're glad that we were able to send literature to those who needed it, and we just praise the Lord. We are grateful for your tuning in this evening, and we just want to thank you very, very much. Also, we want to thank you for your prayers for our granddaughter, Savannah. Those of you who prayed, and she was released from the hospital recently, as of early as today, and we're grateful for that. We like to hear those prayers answered. We like to see the miracles God's been doing in our listening audience's lives, and we're so grateful. We just can't say enough about it. And we hope and pray that God will do a miracle in your life this week. And we hope and pray that you'll hear something this evening that'll give you a spiritual insight, some revelation, and help you walk a closer walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to give you a chance to get set up right now, and then we'll go into a prayer. If you'll turn to Isaiah chapter 29, and I'll wait for you to get there. That's Isaiah chapter 29. Oh, how I love Isaiah. You know, Isaiah is really a mini Bible. We say it's a mini replica of the Bible, because when you get to the 40th chapter of Isaiah, you find that John the Baptist shows up. In the 40th book of the Bible, the book of Matthew, Isaiah shows up. John the Baptist shows up. And then you get to the end of Isaiah, and what do you find? You find the second coming of Jesus Christ. And the last book in the Bible is Revelation, and that's the second coming of Jesus Christ. Amen? What a mighty God we serve. So we say Isaiah is kind of like a mini Bible. If you'll go with me to chapter 29 of Isaiah, verse 13 to 15, we'll read this introduction. We'll get the scripture into our hearts, and then we'll have our prayer. The Lord says here in chapter 29, verse 13, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among the people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep in to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us?" Oh, Father God. Holy Father, we bow down before you. Our listeners are separated only by miles in physical length, Father. But we know we're joined together through the Holy Spirit and the power of Jesus Christ. And God, we ask you tonight that you touch our hearts and our minds and our spirits, and that you'd open our spiritual ears and spiritual eyes and give us wisdom and revelation, God. God, touch our hearts. Let nothing come from my mouth tonight, Lord, that would not please you. Let nothing come from my mouth, Lord, that is not of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, we bow down humbly and we ask these things. We ask you to touch this listening audience. And when we leave here tonight, say that we have heard from the Lord. We have met the Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you, God Almighty, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the title of this sermon is Lip Service. Lip Service. Let's look back at that text. "Wherefore the Lord saith, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among the people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us? And who knoweth us?" Oh, Lord, it sounds like some of our politicians. Sounds like some people in this listening audience. Sounds like some people in the churches that are local. Lord, have mercy. And so the title of this sermon tonight is Lip Service. Lip Service. And Isaiah is talking about lip service. That's what he's talking about here. Isaiah said, "This people draw near me with their mouth, but with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me." Isn't that a shame that somebody removed their heart from the Lord? Jesus Christ quoted Isaiah 29 to the Pharisees because of their hypocritical lip service. And Jesus Christ said in Matthew 15:7-8, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And you and I need to remember what Moses said in Numbers 32:23, because Moses said, "And be sure your sin will find you out." Amen. That's why we keep a short list on our sins. We keep a short order, a short menu, because when we sin, we must confess it to the Lord, get it under the blood of Jesus Christ, because the scriptures say if we judged ourselves, we would not be judged. Lord, have mercy. And some of you can't figure out why your prayers are not getting answered. And sure, you come to church for Bible study, you go to church on Sunday morning, on Sunday night, on Wednesday, on Friday, and you attend those Sunday services, and sure, you're there, but we, wholeheartedly, are you really there? That's what I'm asking you tonight. There are conditions and laws which govern the answer of prayer. The sweet psalmist David said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Well, if you're not getting your prayers answered, my brethren, you need to do a quick spiritual checkup. You need to find out, have I sinned and failed to confess it? Christian, boy or girl, man or woman, if a brother has iniquity in his heart, he cannot pray fervently, he cannot pray in faith, he cannot pray in spirit. Lord, have mercy. And you say to me, "Preacher, what does it mean to regard iniquity in my heart?" Well, my listening audience, I'm glad you asked that tonight. Let me tell you what it means to hold iniquity in your heart. Now, a person who regards iniquity in their heart indulges in thoughts about past sins, desiring a sin, although restrained. They reflect on the past sins with delight or without repentance. They approve of the sins of others or tolerate them without disgust or criticism. Hesitate to confess sin and judge the sin in his own life. And finally, practices it secretly. And if you can't get your prayers answered, maybe it's because your sin has found you out, my brother, my friend, just like Moses said it would. Now, God answers prayer in three ways. God will say yes to your prayer, he will say no to your prayer, or he will say wait. Now, remember, before I said, there are conditions and there are laws which govern answers to your prayers. So, number one, you must believe God. Jesus Christ said, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Amen? If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. We've put God in a box for far too long, my brethren. Jesus Christ said, "Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that these things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." So number one, you and I, we need first of all to have faith. And to believe, we must believe. Number two, secondly, you need to ask in Jesus' name. You need to ask in Jesus' name. Now remember, we're talking about the conditions in which and the laws which abide upon us spiritually in order to get our prayers answered. So number one, you have to have faith. Number two, you need to ask in Jesus' name. Jesus Christ said, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Well, praise Jesus. Amen. John 14:13-14. Amen. And that's what Jesus Christ said. Amen. Now, you must ask in faith. You must ask in Jesus Christ's name. And here's another thing. Number three, you must be in fellowship with God. Jesus Christ said, "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. That's John 14:7. Remember, the psalmist David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That's Psalm 66:18. Isaiah went on to say, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Isaiah 59:2. So you need to believe God, you need to ask in Jesus' name, and you need to be in or stay in fellowship with God. And here's another thing, number four, don't ask for the wrong things. My Christian brothers are always asking for the wrong things, and that's wrong. The Apostle James said, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss. In other words, you're asking for the wrong thing, that ye might consume it upon your lusts. James 4:3. All right, you say, well, preacher, I'm good so far. I do all those things. I have faith. I ask in Jesus' name. I'm in fellowship with God. I don't ask for wrong things. But wait a minute. Wait a minute, brethren. Wait a minute, my friend. I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. Here's number five. You must be obedient to God's word. Oh, I got awful quiet out there in that listening audience. Very quiet. You must be obedient to God's word. The Apostle John wrote this, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. 1 John 3:2. Let me read that again to you. And whatsoever things we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And you say you're good so far? Okay, all right, all right. All right, here's another condition then. Let's see if you're okay still. Here's another condition to answered prayer. Number six, you must desire God's will. Remember how Jesus Christ prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane? Jesus Christ went there and he prayed, and scripture says, and he went a little farther and he fell on his face and he prayed. Some of you won't even get on your knees to pray. But Jesus Christ fell on his face and he prayed, saying, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Well, that was the cup of suffering. And God's got a cup for each one of you. And you better hope it's not the cup of wrath. You better start confessing those sins. Get it right with the Lord. All right. All right. Now you say, preacher, I believe God. I've asked in Jesus' name. I even have fellowship with God. I don't ask for the wrong things. I'm obedient to God's word. And preacher, I desire God's will. Is there anything else? Well, I'm glad you asked that, because there is something else. Number seven, you must pray according to God's will. That's number seven. You must pray according to God's will. The Apostle John said, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Did you understand that, my brethren? And this is the confidence. We can have confidence in this. We can have faith in this. We can have trust in this. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. 1 John 5:14. So these are the conditions for answered prayer. Number one, you must believe God. That means to have faith. Number two, you must ask in Jesus' name. And that means not abracadabra. You know, some people think that God is a genie. You know, when they pull him off the shelf when they need him and rub the little bottle and oh, God, answer my prayer. I need you now. Well, where were you? Why should God answer you now? What were you doing before? Now you want God to answer your prayer. You didn't have time for God last week. You couldn't make the church. You had something better to do. You had somewhere else to go. Oh, Johnny, pass gas. We can't get to church this week. Okay, all the kids stay home. Come on, cut it out, you sinners. Number one, you must believe God. Have faith. These are the conditions of answered prayer. Number two, you must ask in Jesus' name. Number three, you must be in fellowship with God. Number four, don't ask for wrong things. Number five, you must be obedient to God's word. Number six, you must desire God's will. Number seven, you must pray according to God's will. And God's will, my brethren, is found in that Bible. That's right. You want to know the will of God, you read that Bible. The problem with some of you is you have bibliophobia. You have a fear of the Bible, or you're just plain lazy. You want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Somebody said to me one time, Pastor, I don't need that book to be good. Hey, listen, my friend, I don't need this book to be good either, but I need this book to have a relationship. And the relationship is with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And I don't care what problem you're going through in your life, it's in the book. Somebody else somewhere in this book has had the same problem you had. Amen? Someone will ask me, well, how come I see backslidden brethren getting their prayers answered, Pastor? Why are they being blessed? Now, brethren, don't be discouraged by that. Now, I want to assure you something. That's not what you and I are seeing. If they're getting blessed, it's because someone else is praying, that someone else is praying for them, or Satan is providing for them to keep them in sin. And if that person stops praying for that person, that backslidden brother, you better look out. You don't want to be a football field near that brother. Now, I'll tell you what, my friends, God is long-suffering, but he's going to deal with the backslider and the reprobate. And don't let that old backslidden brother or that old backslidden sister discourage you. Hebrews 12:6 says this, to whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Amen? Every son. Everyone. Because the Lord loveth you. You know you had a father of the flesh and mothers of the flesh, parents, and they corrected you? Well, God corrects you also. He's a father. Scriptures tell us it hasn't changed. The wages of sin is death. Amen? Hey, listen, you may be saved. You may be sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption, but the wages of sin is still death. Hey, you use enough of drugs, you might get hepatitis C. You might die of an overdose. You might die from alcohol. Hey, you know what? There's a lot of ways a man can leave this world who's saved. He gets backslidden and gets out of the will of God. And if you want to stay in the will of God, you need to read that Bible. Stop being scared of that Bible. The wages of sin is still death. Death pays wages. Sin pays wages. You know what it is? The wages of sin is death. That's what you get paid. Amen. Then you want to know why the brother got killed driving down the street drinking and driving the back of this bell, you know, ringing the bell in the back of the liquor store and sneaking in the back door to pastor to get a drink. Want to buy a bottle and Lord have mercy on that guy in that liquor store covering up for him. I tell you, abstain from all appearance of evil. Amen? The wages of sin is still death. And that backslidden, he may have eternal security, but he doesn't have physical security. And you remember that, my brethren. You better remember what Paul said about those backslidden brothers at Corinth. And they were in sin. And Paul said, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Sleep. They were dying. Listen, those people were sick. They were coming together. They were having the Lord's Supper. They were backslidden, and they weren't there to have the Lord's Supper to glorify God. They were there to have a meal. And a bunch of them were sitting in a corner, you know, eating steak and eggs, and the other people had little dribs of bread, and they wouldn't share a bit of it. And that isn't why they came together anyway. They came there to have the Lord's Supper, and the Lord's Supper is not the Last Supper. The Lord's Supper is an outgrowth of the Passover Supper. Some of you don't even know that. You know why you don't know that? Because you don't read your Bible. Amen? Or you're attending one of those backslidden churches using an NIV, apostate church, KVK, New King James Version, you know, RV, CEV. Amen? I got a million-dollar message. Are you kidding me? Throw them books in the garbage and kick that pastor out of that church and get a King James Bible-believing pastor in there who loves the Lord Jesus Christ and stop letting them take your money every Sunday. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you and many sleep. 1 Corinthians 11:30. And that, I hope you listen to me, and that sleep means death, brethren. God will remove an unrepentant sinner from the face of the earth. God will bring him home prematurely. Amen. David said, if I regard iniquity in mine heart, the Lord will not hear me. God is not hearing a backslider's prayer unless he's praying for repentance. And he's in repentance, and he's repenting of his sin. God is not hearing him. He better hope somebody else is praying for him. Psalm 66:20 says, blessed be God, which has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Listen, God's mercy is seen in three ways when it comes to prayer. Did you know that? God's mercy is shown in three ways when it comes to prayer. Because of God's mercy, number one, God permits prayer. You know prayer is one of the most powerful forces in the universe. The power of prayer releases God's power into your life and into the world and into the universe. The country's in the state of it is, the United States of America, the land of death, because the people are not praying for those in authority. They want to rebel against them, but they don't want to pray for them. First Peter tells you to respect and honor those in authority and governors. And listen, if they're corrupt, you need to pray for them. You need to pray that God get them out of office, or God bring them to a repentant heart. The reins of the king are in the hands of the Lord. and the Lord has got the reins of this nation. You wanted an abomination? You got it. Lord, have mercy. The people in this country who are saved, Bible-believing Christians, need to get on their knees and pray that this country turn about and pray for the leaders of this country that God grab the reins of their hearts, because the king is still in control of the reins of the hearts of the kings. Amen. The King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And then you'll see your country change, and then you'll see your people change, and then you'll see your land heal. That's the promise of God. I didn't make that up. Lord, have mercy. You have the most powerful access to the throne of God. You can come boldly to the throne of God at any time you're a child of God. I've said this before. My father was a businessman, and for 30 years he had an antique shop. And when I wanted to go see my father, I didn't have to knock on the office door. I just opened the door and said, "Hey, Dad." But a stranger had to come and knock on the door. But it's the same thing. I'm a son of God. And if you're a son of God, a child of God, you don't have to go up there and quietly creep in and get on your knees and say, "Dad, Dad." You can walk boldly into the throne of God, before the throne of God, and say, "Lord, I need your help. In Jesus' name, I need your help." And God will dispatch the angels. The ministering angels will go before you and behind you. He said he doesn't want you to be the tail. He wants you to be the head. And you're living like the tail. You haven't called upon God. You haven't sought the power of God in your life. You want to solve all your problems your way, and then when God tells you to wait on him, you don't even want to wait. So God says, "Well, like Sarah and Abraham, go ahead, do it your way. Look at what we got, Isaac, and Ishmael, and what did we end up with Ishmael? We ended up with the Muslims. And what does the scripture say? Ishmael would be a wild man, and his hand would be against every man, and every man's hand against his." You say, "Oh, Pastor, you get excited." Well, it's about time somebody got excited about the Word of God. It's been trashed enough. They want civil rights. They want gay rights. They want bi rights. They want private rights. They want tax rights. Hey, what about God's rights? Who's going to stand up for the Lord? Will you? My brethren, God's mercy is seen in three ways, brethren, when it comes to your prayers. Because of God's mercy, number one, God permits prayer. Number two, God inclines his ears to our prayers. Number three, God answers prayers. That's the mercy of God. He permits you to pray. He'll listen to your prayer, and he'll answer your prayer. Now, I want you to know that there's different types of prayers. And you say, "Well, what do you mean?" Well, one kind of prayer is called an imprecatory prayer. And, you know, an imprecatory prayer is a good example of that would be found in Psalm 58, verse 6, where David says, "Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth." And you say, "Well, that's not God." Hey, listen, God called David a man after his own heart. You don't know God. That's your problem. You don't think that's a God. But he said, "Break their teeth in their mouth." Well, "Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth." You know, but you and I, we don't pray an imprecatory prayer. That's something that David could pray and an Old Testament saint could pray, but we're under grace. And I want you to know something. A Christian does not pray an imprecatory prayer. You say, why? Well, here's what the scripture says. Let's let Paul the apostle tell you, the greatest Christian that ever lived. "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord.' Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Romans 12, 19-21. Amen. It's in the Bible. "Avenge not yourselves." Amen. "For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine.'" Hey, listen, God will repay him. They did you wrong, God will repay him. The scripture says, "Brothers, not to take brother to law." What's an unsaved judge? How's he going to judge a righteous judgment against you and your brother? Lord have mercy. You need to read this Bible. It's a shame that you don't know that. Amen. "Therefore, if thine enemy hungry, you're supposed to bless them." Bless your enemies. And by doing that, you pulls the fire on their head. Amen. Don't be overcome with evil. Don't make evil make you evil. But overcome evil with good. When people are at their worst, Christians ought to be at their best. Amen? And another type of prayer, so that's an imprecatory prayer, my brother. Some of you never heard of that. Imprecatory prayer, you know, wishing evil on somebody or harm. But here's another one. Here's another type of prayer. It's an intercessory prayer. This is an intercessory prayer. It's a prayer where the person praying seeks for another. He pleads on behalf of another person. In Luke 22:31-32, we find that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, made intercessory prayer for Peter. Here's what the Lord said. Scripture says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Hey, amen. Did you see that? An intercessory prayer. The Lord stood in there and he prayed for Simon. Simon, he prayed for Peter, that Satan would not be able to sift them like sand and that Peter's faith would not fail. How many times have you prayed for your pastor or your deacon or your ushers or your neighbor that their faith would not fail? The Apostle Paul said, I exhort, therefore, to exhort means to stir up, to encourage with fervency. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Amen? Well, if he wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, I guess Calvin's out the door. Amen? You know, predestination out the door. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, Paul's trying to exhort us. He says, I exhort, therefore. Hey, I'm trying to stir you up. That first of all, he said, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. Not some that are in authority. And listen, the people that were in authority at the time Paul was alive was the Roman Empire. And there were other governments, but the Roman Empire was the primary government. And the Pharisees were over the Jews. And Paul said, you need to pray for those leaders. Well, what are you praying for? You're praying, God, get them out of office. If they're not going to do what's right and get a man in there or change their hearts and bring them to repentance so that they'll lead our country so we can live a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Amen? Some people got this thing screwed up. They want to go fight the government. They want to go to weapons and they want to go to arms. It's ridiculous. They don't know what they're talking about. The power of prayer is stronger than any force in this universe beside the power of God himself. And he's given you the authority to go to the King of Kings and say, God, bless my nation. Forgive my nation its sins. Heal the land of my nation. We repent of our sins. That's what God wants to hear. If you want him to heal the United States of America, he can heal this land. He holds the reins of the leaders. You know, Israel, they turned their back on God. And you know what happened to them? God turned their back on them. And he allowed them to get into the things they got into. And then they would repent, and then they'd fall away, then they'd get more trouble, and then they repent, and they'd fall away. And listen, we've come to a place where we need to repent. For this is good and acceptable, the Apostle Paul said, in the sight of God our Savior. God's watching you. Amen? What's good and acceptable in God's eyes, in the Savior's eyes? That you pray for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Listen, you can be an expert in any field you want in this Bible, but this Bible isn't a one direction, a one thought Bible. Amen, brother? Listen, we know that there's coming world order, new world order. We know it's coming. You and I can't stop that new world order. It's prophesied, and if God says it's going to come, it's going to come. Amen. That's like trying to stop John the Baptist from coming. They knew one would be out there crying in the wilderness. Well, it was John the Baptist. You couldn't stop John the Baptist from coming any more than you could stop the second advent of Jesus Christ, Armageddon, World War III. Amen. You know, it's good to let the brother know about things and future events and what's going on in their country, but my brother, we don't need to be hung up on that corner. You need to get on down the road. You need to start winning some souls. You need to earn your crowns. Some of you don't even know what your five crowns are. You don't know about the crown of righteousness for winning souls. They don't know about that soul winner's crown. Lord have mercy, you're not going to have any crown to throw at Jesus Christ's feet when you get up there. You're going to stand there and be embarrassed. You got the wrong idea. Listen, you can look at the world all you want. We are sojourners, and we're passing through. And Jesus Christ, I said, I pray not for the world, I pray for them whom thou hast given me out of the world. God has called you out of the world. God has called you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We're only here for a short time. And finally, my brethren, there's a thing called personal prayer. Here's what Matthew says. Matthew records in Matthew 6:6-7, verses 6 and 7, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. Hail Mary, full of grace, Hail Mary, full of grace, Hail Mary, full of grace, Hail Mary, full of grace. Come on, cut it out. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Listen, God already knows what you're going to pray for before you pray it. And God's telling you, listen, you don't have to go tell the whole world, well, I'm praying for brother so-and-so. Hey, listen, that's your reward. You got an earthly reward. You went and got man to say, oh, you're such a great brother, you've been praying for that brother. And hey, you got a pat on the back from that man. You know what? That's your reward. You don't get a reward in heaven. You got it on earth. You wanted an earthly reward. And God's telling you, go on in that prayer closet, shut that door. Get alone with the Lord somewhere. Get alone with God where it's just you and him. Get alone with God where you can commune with the Father as a child communes with the Father and a father communes with the Son, and let the Lord hear your heart's desire. Never mind bragging about what you've been praying about. Never mind talking about the brother next year we need to pray for. Listen, get in that closet and do your praying. That's what the Lord's saying. The Apostle Paul said, be careful for nothing. That's the problem. You all walk around, you're full of care. What are we going to do? We may not pay the rent. What are we going to do? We may not. Listen, God's not going to let you be hungry, and God's not going to let you starve. God's not going to let you be out with nothing. God's going to take care of you. The Apostle Paul said, be careful for nothing. You stop worrying about everything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. All right? Amen. Hey, be careful for what you're praying for, because, my brethren, you might get it. You just might get it. Amen? You might get what you're praying for. That's not a funny thing, you see. But the problem is, there's too much lip service in the church. There's too much lip service. Yeah, the Lord says, this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. Ye hypocrites. Jesus said, well did Isaiah's prophecy of you. Well, that's who Isaiah's talking about here, my friends. Say, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, lip service, and honor me with their lips, lip service, but their heart is far from me, lip service, lip service, lip service. Why are you giving God lip service? Why are you pretending and going to church and you dress up so nice in your nice clothes and you want to go to church and you want to pretend in front of the pastor and you want to pretend in front of the deacon and you want to pretend in front of your neighbors? Oh, what holy people they are. They go to church three times a week and then you live like the devil the rest of the week. Lord, have mercy on you. Scripture says, and be sure your sin will find you out. Amen. You need to repent of the way you've been going. You need to get in that prayer closet. You need to remember the conditions of prayer and the laws of prayer that I set forth before you tonight, because this is what the Lord Jesus Christ has set before you as the conditions of your prayers. And if you don't listen to the conditions of those prayers and pray according to those prayers, those conditions, you're not going to get your prayers answered. So here we go. Number one, you must believe God. Number two, you need to ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Number three, you must be in fellowship with God. Number four, don't ask for the wrong things. Ask for the things that are the will of God. Number five, you must be obedient to God's word. Woo, there's a tough one. Number six, and by the way, for those of you who say, well, only the original Bible manuscripts are real, and the rest of them, all we have is something that's this is the best we got. Hey, I got news for you. Jesus Christ said you must be obedient to God's word. Now, you tell me Jesus Christ is going to tell you to be obedient to God's word, and all he's going to give you is something that's close to the original of the word? Cut it out. You know, you stop listening to those pastors. You stop listening to those teachers, those NIV experts and those New King James Version experts and those New Scofield Study Bibles and all that other nonsense out there that Holman puts out and all that wickedness they're calling Bibles, the CEV and the New Entertaining Version and the Nutty Idiots Version, the NIV and all that nonsense. You need to cut that out. You don't think about it logically. That's your problem. You haven't thought it out. You're so lazy, you want to go to church and make the pastor think for you. You're so lazy, you won't even do like the Bereans do. The Bereans search the scriptures to see if the things that Paul said were true. You go to church, you say, listen to that pastor, you don't even go back and look at your Bible and look at notes or anything. You just believe it. You just take it all in and say, yeah, that's right. Oh yeah, my pastor's right. Well, if your pastor's right, why's he got an NIV? See, scripture says you must be obedient to God's word. How are you going to be obedient to God's word if we don't have God's word? Go ask your pastor that. Say, hey, pastor, if the NIV is just as good as the King James or a revised version, a new revised version, or the Message, or any of these other Bibles, say, hey, pastor, how come Jesus told us to be obedient to his word? Which one's the real word? Oh, well, you know what he's going to tell you? Well, nobody has an original. All we have is the best that you can get, and this is the best we could find, and this is the closest to the original. Oh, cut it out. God's preserved his word on the earth. It's preserved in the King James Bible. It's the only Bible without a copyright in the world today, and it will remain that way forever and ever. You know why the other Bibles have copyrights on them? They have copyrights on them because they can charge you money, you see. It's copywritten. You cannot copy their Bibles more than so many hundred words, and if you do, it's illegal. You don't find that on a King James Bible. The King does not put an impromptu on it. There is no copyright on a King James Bible. It's the Word of God for all the people. You can't have the same words in an NIV and a New King James Version. You can't have the same words in a Revised Version and a King James Version. You can't have the same words in a NIV and a CEV. Why? Because they have copyrights. They're suckering you, my friends, and you're putting that money out and you're buying that trash and they're telling you their Bibles. Oh, yeah? Well, there's no two Bibles alike. Well, how come, pastor? Well, I'll tell you why. You see, here's something you didn't think about. And then you can go and pray about this as one on your prayer list while you're going to that prayer closet where you should have been that you've been staying out of. Okay? Because if you'd have been in that prayer closet and praying that God would lead you to the truth, you'd know these things. And you don't know these things because you haven't been praying that God would lead you to the truth. Amen? It's true. Now look, in the Garden of Eden, you had Adam and Eve. You had God and you had Satan. Now God told them, don't eat of that thing. The devil came and told them they really could eat of it. Has God said? See? Well, he knows you're going to be like a god. So now you have two authorities. You have God, and you have the devil. And so you know what happens? You need a third authority when you have two authorities. And Eve became that authority. So now we have an NIV Bible, and we have a King James Bible, and my Bible says one thing, and your Bible says another thing, and you say to me, hey, which one's right? And I say, I don't know. Let's go ask the pastor. Now, my brethren, who's the authority now? Not God, but the pastor. He became the authority. You see? That's the devil's trick, and he's got you tricked. The King James Bible is the Word of God. You don't need another authority. An NIV Bible is 60,000 words less than a King James Bible. Where did 60,000 words go, my brethren? Oh, you don't know. Well, you go look at Acts 8:37. It's missing out of your NIV. 1 John 5:7. It's missing out of your NIV. Well, how come you didn't know that? Well, I bet your pastor knew it. He just figured, well, you know, it's the closest we can get to the originals. Hey, listen, Lord God, in Psalm 12, 6, and 7, God has promised his people, he has promised you and I, that he will preserve his word. Not the Holman Foundation, not any other foundation, not any other biblical writer. God himself would preserve the word of God, and he has done that for you in the English language. This is the last world language of the world. Amen. You don't know that because you haven't been praying. You haven't been praying in the will of God. Lord, have mercy. We're just so full of lip service. This is the season we're in. Everybody's got rights but God. Where's God's rights when they took the Bible out of the school? Where's God's rights when they took the Ten Commandments off the courthouse steps? Where's God's rights when they want to remove all the crosses across the country? Where are the rights of God when they're killing our Christian brethren overseas? Where are the rights of God when they're burning our churches down? Where are the rights of God in this world? You know the kind of people I love? You know the kind of man I want to be around? There were two people on that cross with Jesus Christ. There was two of them. And one of them railed on Christ and called him all kinds of names. And the other one said to him, hey, he's innocent. You and I, we're getting our just due. Now that's the brother that I want to hang out with, amen? That's the kind of guy, the guy that's going to stick up for Jesus Christ. He's not going to be afraid to tell his friends. When I hear them out there cursing and using the Lord's name in vain, I tell them, hey, my friend, God's last name is not damn. What? I said, God's last name is not damn. What are you, more holy than me? I'm giving you a fact. You're so scared you want to be a Christian. Jesus said to you, go into all the world and preach the gospel, not to those who you want to preach to, even to those you don't. You know why you don't have power to go out and preach? You know why you don't have power to go out and witness? Because you're failing to pray. You're not meeting the conditions of your prayer. Oh, God, we need a bigger house. For what? You got more stuff in your closet now than you're going to wear the rest of your life. Half of that stuff's been sitting in there 2 or 3 years. We're Americans. We are so materialistic, it's pathetic. I can walk in your garage and find stuff you haven't used in years. It's stuff. Give it away. Give it to some poor family. And then you'll have treasure in heaven. Quit hoarding that stuff. Well, I might need a light bulb one day. Yeah, you might. Listen, by the time you need a light bulb, we'll already be using LEDs. My goodness. Cut it out. You're giving God lip service. I love you, Lord. You go to church and sing, oh, hey, praise the Lord. Praise, oh, amazing grace. Are you kidding me? You bet it's amazing grace. What a friend we have. And listen, some of you, I wouldn't want you to be my friend. What a friend we have in Jesus, amen. But I was Jesus, I look at some of you and say, man, I don't even know why you want to be my friend. You sure don't act like my friend. Lord have mercy. Lip service. Isaiah said, wherefore the Lord saith, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, with their lips, amen, do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precept of men. Hey, I want you to know something, my brethren. You can walk into a lot of these churches around this country, and I've been to quite a few of them, and you can listen to that music they're playing. Don't tell me that's godly music. And half of it, you can't even feel the Holy Spirit moving in those songs. They don't even enlighten you, exhort you, or teach you a thing. Praise God, praise God, hallelujah, he's coming through the door. Praise God, hallelujah. Listen, he's coming through the door, all right. He's coming through the east gate in Jerusalem pretty soon. You're not going to be ready. You're not even going to have your crowns won before the rapture. You're all playing church. When are you going to quit playing church? And you, pastor, I know you're listening because God put you on that radio to listen tonight. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You've been stroking that conversation, that congregation, and patting them on the head and using that NIV Bibles and down talking bad about people who are telling the truth out of the King James Version Bible and saying that it's okay. We can all disagree. We can all disagree. And the one thing we can agree on is we can all disagree. You're full of baloney, pastor, because truth is not relevant. My battery doesn't have two positives and it doesn't have two negatives. It has a negative pole and a positive pole. And just like truth, truth is truth. You know the story. Truth and falsehood, truth and lie went swimming together. And lie got out first and stole truth's clothes. And ever since, truth has been naked. And that's the naked truth, my friend. A fact is a fact is a fact. You make excuses for those pastors. You need to repent. That's what you want to do. You're a backslidden brother. You're in an apostate church. You allow that stuff to go on. You know why? Because there's something heretical there in you. And if there's something heretical in you, it's of the flesh. And you need to abandon that stuff and take a stand for God. And maybe people would follow you out of that church to the right place and really live for Jesus Christ. Oh, well, you know, well, my pastor, sometimes he said, hey, listen, sometimes isn't good enough. Judas Iscariot was good sometimes. He was of the devil. You better check what spirit you're in. God opened doors and you don't even realize. Lip service. Here's what, okay, you say, oh, Isaiah, that's Old Testament, Pastor. That's Old Testament. Okay. Before we end tonight, before I get off the air tonight, I'm going to bring you the New Testament now, okay? I'm going to bring you to the Laodicean church age. That's the last church age. You say, how do you know that? Well, I know this. I'm going to give you a little chance to take a walk with this pastor. Now, you come on with Dr. Ventura over to chapter 3 of the book of Revelation. I'm going to give you a second to get there. Just take your time. Go on over to Book of Revelations, okay? Because you didn't like that Old Testament stuff. You said, oh, that's Old Testament. Isaiah doesn't apply to us. Okay, well, come on. I'm going to bring you to some New Testament. I want to bring you the words of Jesus Christ tonight. And you're not going to tell me when I'm done, oh, you're wrong, Pastor. No, you read the book. I'm not making any of this up. You know what? You know why some of you want to tune out? You want to tune out, and you say, well, that guy gets excited, he yells a lot. Hey, listen, you know what? It's about time somebody got excited for Jesus Christ. You know when Jesus Christ spoke on the street, and he was a street preacher, people got excited. Either they loved him or they hated him. But they got excited. You hear the word of God, you don't even get excited. But I went in the past, I had a good message. Okay, what are we going to do this afternoon? Come on, cut it out. Revelation chapter 3. Y'all there with me? We're talking about the Laodicean Age church. Now, I know this is the last church age, because when you get to chapter 4, look down in chapter 4, John says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. There's the heaven door. And the voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet. Remember, Thessalonians, at the last trump, talking with me, which said, come up hither. There you go. There's the rapture. Verse 2, and immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, the throne was set in heaven. Who's on the throne? The Lord. So we know that this is the last church age. Now, here's what the Lord says in the last church age. All right? He says, Laodicea, people, the laity over the people. I know thy works. Look at verse 15. That thou art neither cold nor hot. Your lip service, playing church. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And you know, I've heard preachers say, oh, God's not going to spew a Christian out of his mouth. Hey, listen, Christians can make God sick. You're a lukewarm Christian, my brother. You make God sick. You've been saved and you're still drinking milk. You're not eating meat and strong meat. You're no different than if you were a 10-year-old boy and you walked. How would you feel if you had a 10-year-old boy and he walked into your living room in a pair of diapers and said in front of your friends, hey, Ma, I need to be changed. Can you make my model? Because that's what you are. You're a spiritual baby if you're not growing in Christ Jesus, exercising your spiritual muscles. You walk into the throne room of God still wearing your Pampers. You need to get out of that crib. That's why you don't like to hear what I'm telling you, because you know it's true. Now look at verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. Oh, look down the street, brother. Great congregation. Lots of people in there. Yeah, okay. That's what they're saying, all right? Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And know it's not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Lord, have mercy. Hey, the Lord is telling them that they are blind and you know what? They are naked spiritually. Spiritually, but they can get healed. They can get healed. The Lord says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Listen, if the rebuke of God is on you through this sermon, praise the Lord for it, brother. It'll get you right. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Here's how I know it's the Laodicean church age. Here's how I know it's the last church age. Here's how I know it's the church age for us. Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Can you hear him? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Hey, my brethren, how many pastors have you heard spiritualize that verse? Well, that's God's knocking on your heart. God's knocking on your heart. Hey, okay, it's true. God may be knocking on your heart. This verse ain't talking about God knocking on somebody's heart. This verse is talking about God is literally knocking on the Laodicean Age church door. You know why he's knocking on that door? He said if you open the door, he'll come in. Because most of you are playing churches and you're having lip service. You're not serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not glorifying God. You're entertaining one another and you're rock and rolling with your music and your women filthy dress and tight clothes and low-cut blouses and dresses up the back and low-cut backs and men walking around with fairy hair ears and jewelry in their ears and little diamond sissy rings and in their nose and piercings. And what do you want to do? Cow? They pierce cows. That's so you can put a ring in a bull's nose and haul them around. What do you want to be an animal for? Join the moose club. Come on. Lord have mercy. Hey, listen to what I'm saying. Jesus Christ is standing at the Laodicean church age and he's knocking at that door. And he said, if you open that door, he'll come in. You know what that says? That says people think they have churches where God's in it and he's really not in it. They left Jesus Christ like his parents did in Jerusalem and didn't realize it, went all the way 3 days away, had to come back 3 days later and found them in the temple. And all that time they thought Jesus was going with them. And that's what's going on in the churches today. They think Jesus is with them. Oh, they had a holy time that night, and they had a great time in Jerusalem, and they were talking to all their friends about all the praises and all the wonders and the sacrifices and the beauty of the temple and all the great things they saw and all the people they met in church, and what a wonderful thing it was. And they got down the street and said, hey, where's Jesus? What do you mean? He's with you. No. They went down there. Hey, Elizabeth, have you seen Jesus? No, we thought he was with you. They go all the way back to the temple to find Jesus. And that's what some of you churches and some of your pastors ought to close those doors and go back and find Jesus. And they open the door of the church and allow the people to come in. Because you left Jesus Christ behind, you NIV user, you New King James Version user, you RV user, you corrector of the Bible. Well, the Greek says this, and the Hebrew says that, and it could mean this, and it could mean that. Hey, listen, God is going to, if this is the word of God, then God has promised to give you the word of God. He gave you the right grammar with it. And it's in English. You and I don't speak Hebrew. You don't think that God didn't know the last known world language would be English? You can't fly into this country from another country unless you could speak English. God gave you the Bible in English. Well, the Hebrew manuscript. Hey, listen, I don't care what the Hebrew manuscript said. My God gave it to me in English. That fool pastor of mine up there parading around, got bullet, big billboards and movie screens and going to show NIV like he's helping the church or something. 60,000 words was missing out of your Bible. How's he helping you? Why don't you get the fortitude to stand up and be a real man? And if you don't know how to be a man, then act like Joshua. And the rest of them, and play the man for God. Get on up. Be a man. Some of you are so sissified, your women are running your houses. You get the garbage out now. You go to work all day, come home, and a woman waiting for you with a rolling pin. Oh, you're the man at church, all right. Come home and you're wearing a skirt. Why don't you stand up and be a man? Respect your wife and love her. Rid of that beer can. What's going on out there? Lip service. The Lord's done with that. Don't you get it? It's later than you and I think. The shadow of Matthew 24, the warning signs of the last times, are coming upon the people of the world, throughout the whole world. The signs of the end times are upon the world. And you're too blind. Satan's got you too materialistic with your lockers and your two cars and three cars and all that books and shelves full of crap that you got and clothes that you aren't going to wear for the next 10 years that you've been saving in there. The devil's got you collecting all that stuff and shopping for more. You're caught up in the world. Oh, we love you, Lord. Well, listen, the Bible says your brother needs a coat. You don't give it to him. How do you love him? You know how many homeless people are out there in the street without something to wear? You got a closet full of stuff. What's wrong with you? Lip service. Oh, Jesus, I love you. You got the nerve to sing, I surrender all to Jesus. Hey, listen, you don't surrender all. Half of you don't even surrender some. You surrender what's convenient. That's what you're surrendering to the Lord. You ought to cut it out. Cut the lip service out. You got a pastor, don't go out and soul win. You need to get him out of the church. That's the first commandment. Go ye to all the world. Preach the gospel. After you preach the gospel, to come to church and be discipled. Why? Because fruit produces fruit of like kind. Lord have mercy. Heavens, if you've been exhibiting these signs, if you've been living this lifestyle, if you've been giving God lip service, here's what I suggest. And listen, I'm guilty from time to time, too. I'm a sinner just like you, saved by grace. Amen? You know that the Christian life, my brethren, boy or girl, man or woman, once we're saved, the Christian life is nothing but surrendering things to God. Amen? And building the character qualities of Christ Jesus in you. And some of you have done these things and you didn't even realize it. You didn't do it on purpose, but you've been paying lip service to the Lord. This people draw nigh to me. That's what the Lord said. This people draw nigh me. Hey, these people are drawing near me. They go to church with their mouth and with their lips to honor me, but have removed their heart from me. If your heart's been removed from the Lord, either because you haven't realized it, you're just caught up in the world, or you just got away from the Lord, tonight's a good night to repent of that. Tonight's a good night to come to the Lord and say, you know, Lord, I need to do some business with you. I'm sorry, Lord. I've been backslidden. I got pride in my life. I wouldn't even admit it. I go to churches where they use wrong Bibles, and Lord, they teach it as the Word of God. And Lord, I need to repent of that thing. I've been to churches, Lord, where they got bingo in the basements and rock and roll bands and women wearing tight clothing, Lord, and I'm going to bring it to the pastor. And if he doesn't change it, I'm leaving. I'm going to go quietly, Lord. And I can argue with the pastor, but I'm going to go quietly. I'm just going to leave. I'm going to find a real Bible-believing church. And I don't care if there's one person, two people, 100 people, 1,000 people, but I need a Bible-believing church, Lord, and please leave me there. That's what I'm going to pray. If you need to do business with the Lord, now's the time to do it. And if there's anybody listening tonight, tuned in, and you're not saved, I want to give you the opportunity right now to come to know the Savior. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, loved you and I before we were even born. He went to the cross and he paid the price for your sin for all eternity. I told a man the other night, and on that tombstone there's two dates, the date we were born and the date we die. And in between those two dates, there's that little dash. You know that little dash represents our life. We're not going to be here long. We ought to know where we're going, eternity, future. If you heard the word of God and God's touched your heart tonight, or you've been waiting and waiting and putting it off, today's the day of salvation. Tomorrow's not promised to any one of us. You just bow your head and you ask Jesus Christ. You pray and you say, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I repent of my sins. I'm done with this old life, Lord. I'm turning to you now. Forgive me my sins, Lord. And I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins, that on the third day he arose, and that now he's sitting on the right hand of the Father. And Father, in Jesus' name, I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And if you prayed that prayer, you feel free to contact me or this radio program, this station. You can reach me at ventura.peter77@gmail.com. That's ventura.peter77@gmail.com. You can go to Nathan on the Spot, and you can find it there. You can reach us, or you can call me. My number is 203. Yeah, this is my cell phone. This is how serious I am. I'm not afraid to give you my cell phone. If you heard from Jesus Christ and you just need prayer, just call and say, Dr. Ventura, could you pray for me? That number is 203-240-0377. 203-240-0377. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to pray with you. And I'd love to see the Lord answer your prayers. And so, my brethren, we end another night. We had a good sermon. We spent some time with the Lord. We heard from the Lord. We heard some good things. We heard some hard things. And hey, don't get mad at Dr. Ventura. He's just a pizza delivery boy. I'm just delivering the message. You got a beef, take it up with God. Amen. That's who you're beefing with, not with Dr. Ventura. I'm just bringing you the scriptures. Amen. And what applies to you applies to me. I love you, brother. I want to thank you for listening. Let's have a prayer. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, your Son and our Savior, Lord, if we've displayed any of these things, this lip service, if we've done lip service in our lives, Lord, or we've just gotten away and didn't realize we were doing lip service, may you forgive us, Lord. We repent of that right now, Lord. We repent of all our lip service, Lord. And we come before you and we ask you, Father, that you would bless us, that you would touch this word and keep it in our hearts, Father, that we can continue to glorify you. We thank you and we praise you for Calvary. We thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, and saving us from the pits of hell, Lord. It's a real place, and we're grateful that you saved us, God. God, I ask you to watch over this listening audience. There's people who need prayer. Velva down in Florida needs prayer for her back and her foot. And Lord, please heal her. Savannah needs prayer. Just had surgery yesterday, is healing. Rhonda has cancer and needs healing. Dottie has cancer and needs healing. Roger just had a stent in his heart and needs healing. Kitty is not feeling well. Brother Fred's standing strong, and he's growing stronger every day, helping to grow. Brother Lewis, his friend Kermit, has been ill. Lord, heal him, Lord, and heal him well. And Brother Lewis's back and neck, put a healing on them, Lord. And Lord God, my wife, heal her. And Lord, help us to just grow and to live a life that's pleasing to you, Lord. And those who have asked for prayers, Sister Joan and Eloise's children, Lord, they need help. They've got themselves into a place where they're using drugs, God. Deliver them from that, Father God. You have the power. And we believe, God, these prayers are according to your will, Lord, according to what you would have us pray for. We intercede for those people. These are intercessory prayers, and we believe this, Lord. We've seen Joe's grandmother be healed on this program. We ask you to bless Joe, Lord, and his son and his newborn that's on the way, Lord, and help them financially and physically and spiritually and mentally and emotionally, Lord, and help them to grow in Christ Jesus, Lord, among many families. Miss Rondo up there in Connecticut, in Wallingford, she needs healing, Lord, to keep her healed and strengthened, Lord, and to keep her talking of the good things about the Lord Jesus Christ. She's a blessing, Lord, the rest of that family. And God bless Billy down there in Florida, who's been incarcerated, Lord. He needs prayer. And we have Michael in Connecticut who needs prayer, Lord. He's incarcerated, God, for life. And Lord, I think he may be innocent. Bless him. Let the truth be known, Father. And the rest of the brethren who we minister in the prison ministry, Lord, and those here at the church, Lord, please bless them and fill the needs of our listening audience, Lord, that's according to your will. That'll glorify your Son. We thank you for Nathan on the spot and DL for giving us this spot to be a visitor, to be a guest every week, and Lord, for allowing us to preach the gospel the way we know it should be preached. And we thank you, Holy Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Nathan?